Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey everybody, it's the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Friday, October 22nd. Michael Beller here with you on Fridays. We talk gambling. We're going to dig deep into the remainder of the Week 7 slate, the shortest slate that we have seen thus far this season with six teams on bye. I am joined, as always, by Zach Jackson. Zach, what's going on?
Hi guys, good to be here.
And Vic Tafer with us as well, as he is every single week. Vic, what's going on for you, my friend?
Not much, man. Fired up. I'm trying to make some ground up of you guys. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah, a little 3-2 week for you last week, Vic, to push you to 10-15. I went 2-3. I'm now sitting at 9-11 on the season. Zach, you had our first incomplete week of the season because you had a pick last week of Nick Chubb to go over his rushing yards total. That's sort of the perils of doing this when we do it in the week, because by time Browns roll around to play, Nick Chubb did not play. So 2-2 for you last week to get you to 13-11. On the season. Let's dive right into this week 7 slate, you guys. Early games first, Packers and Washington. The first game I want to talk about, Packers 8.5 point favorites at home, 48.5 the over under on this one. You guys on the same page, not a 5 favorite for either of you, but you both like the road dog Washington football team. Zach, why don't you talk to us first about why you're on this side?
Yeah, not one I love. I think I saw 9.5, maybe even 10, maybe not that high early in the week. It has come down a little. You know, I'm not super high on Green Bay. They got the win and they got the cover last week. But I just am going to take more than a touchdown here and devote most of my energy and resources elsewhere.
Yeah, same. I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is yelling at fans in Chicago. They're all fired up. They got the Cardinals next week on deck. They can't be really excited about playing Washington this week. They can't be locked in on that game. So I think a sleepy performance by the Packers and the Washington's cover.
All right, guys, I am going opposite of you. I am actually going with the Packers in this one. And not only am I going with the Packers, I'm making it one of my 5 favorite plays of the week. I just think there's a huge gap between the talent on these two teams. And this Washington defense has just fallen apart this year, and it's a really bad matchup for them going up against the Packers. They've got the worst 3-and-out rate in the league, according to True Media. That's sitting at 21.2%. Their defense is 29th in EPA. They've just been really taken advantage of through the air this season. I would be very surprised if Aaron Rodgers is unable to do that the way that we've seen a lot of teams do that most recently. Patrick Mahomes a week ago. This team has also given up the most touchdowns in the league at 22, 6 yards per play. That is 24th in the league. I mean, every single stat you look at on defense, this team has been bad at it, and I don't think it turns around for them against an offense that's rolling like Green Bay. So give me the Packers minus 8.5 as one of my 5 favorite plays of the week. Second game on our slate, you guys. It is expected to be a high-scoring one. Chiefs and Titans. The Chiefs, 5.5-point favorites on the road, over under 57.5. I want to say that's the highest total of the season. Obviously, it's one of like the 3 highest. I'm pretty sure it's the very highest total that we've seen from BetMGM all year. Vic, give us your play for Chiefs and Titans expecting a high-scoring one.
Well, I hate the number, 5.5. I don't like either side of the number. I hate the over, way too many points. So I got to be clever here. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes over 2.5 passing touchdowns, minus 145. I'm paying a big price, minus 145, but there's no way he doesn't get 3 touchdowns in this game. So I think it's kind of a lock.
I like that one, Vic. I'm going to write it down. I'm going over for one of my 5 faves. Michael Market is one of my 5 faves of the year. I've seen Chiefs play defense.
Wow.
I know the Titans are down at least one corner. Guys across every level of the defense, they're off that hangover. I just think this is going to be a shootout, right? I just think Derrick Henry is going to run and maul the Chiefs, set up some easy stuff in the passing game. And I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have kind of reconciled with the fact that they're going to have to score in the 30s to win games. I think they do. I think the Chiefs win. But I think they get 35, 38, and I think the game total soars over 57.
Yeah, I like the over here as well, and I'm going to make what I feel like is, a little risky of a play as one of my five faves. It's my last. It's my fifth of five, even though it's the second one I'm talking about. Give me the Titans plus 5.5. I just don't see why the Chiefs should be laying this sort of a number against any team that has as competent an offense as Tennessee does. Another team that has just been terrible defensively this season. Last in the league in defensive EPA. Even after holding Washington to 276 yards of offense last week, they still have given up a league-high 6.71 yards per play. They've just been really, really bad defensively. That game against Washington a week ago, that was the first time they'd given up fewer than 29 points since week one when they did that against the Browns. And 29 points, not exactly a low number to be allowing. Every single team that has gone up against this Kansas City defense, with the exception of Washington a week ago, has been able to score. And let's look at that Washington team. Backup quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, their top two playmakers, both compromised by injury in that game. No Logan Thomas, no Curtis Samuel, so they're missing two of their key guys from how they were constructed in the offseason. That's about as pushover of an offense as you're going to find. So congratulations, Kansas City. You held that offense to 13 points. You're going to see a much different look in the Titans this week. And one more stat for you on Kansas City's defense: 30th in yards per pass attempt allowed, 30th in yards per rush allowed. Really doesn't matter what you want to do. You can do it successfully against the Chiefs. I expect the Titans to do so. Give me the Chiefs to win. Give me the over. Give me the Titans to keep it within 5.5. Next game up on our list, guys, this one was interesting to me for a number of reasons. It's the Falcons and the Dolphins. Falcons are 2.5-point favorites on the road. That right there is enough to be like, that's sort of a head-scratcher. The Falcons really haven't done anything this season, but they're favored on the road. The Dolphins, for some reason, don't get a bye, even though they played in London last week. Not really sure what to make of this one. You guys both like the Falcons laying the 2.5. Not a favorite for either of you, but Zach, give us the explanation as to why that's your pick.
I watched Miami last week. Now they chose not to take the bye, so they come home. Yeah, it's just Falcons off the bye. They closed their opening portion of their schedule with a win in London. And, maybe they can carry that over. They get Calvin Ridley back. I think they did a nice job getting Kyle Pitts involved. But this is mostly saying it's a game I don't like, and I really don't like anything about the Dolphins right now. So I just take the Falcons and move on to the next game.
Yeah, same here. I think it's not really a very exciting game play-wise, but I think the Dolphins lost to the Jags in London, which is a double whammy if there ever was one. So I just think, plus you got the Tua could be his last game. The trade rumors are starting to get louder again about Deshaun Watson. So that team's kind of a mess, and I would hate to – never thought I would back the Falcons minus 2.5 on the road, but here I am.
All right, we like to talk about gambling on this show, obviously. What's that? The likelihood of that trade actually happening, like plus 50,000?
I don't know, man. I would have thought so early on, but I think the more noise there is this week, I think it's actually maybe picking up. The league has kind of done their part and not suspended him for some reason, so I think it's wide open. And if you're the Dolphins and you're desperate and you realize that Tua's not your guy, then you might as well do something now.
Yeah, I think it's, this is an unprecedented situation on a couple fronts, right? Obviously, what's looming over Watson is on its own, but if you're really going to have a possibility of Watson, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson being traded in the offseason, and I'm not saying you are,
right,
but if, then you want to be first to that party, right? And you want to do it if you think you're going to do it. So, again, it strikes me as something you couldn't possibly do right now, but here, 11 days from the deadline, maybe they get it done, so they're first to that party.
Yeah, I am not buying at all. I'm also not buying this game. Falcons, Dolphins, over 47.5. Whatever. I'm not actually betting it. That's my pick. We can move right on to our next game. Patriots and Jets. Patriots, 7-point favorites. We've already seen this game happen once, and the Patriots won that one convincingly 25-6. They are 7-point favorites here. 42.5 is the over-under in it. A couple of favorites for each of you guys. Vic, give us yours first.
Hey, what's that? The gif, like it's popular from the Star Wars, where the guy yells trap at the
with the cheeks.
That's this week. This is definitely a trap game. You mentioned the earlier outcome, the Jets got blown out. Wilson had four picks in that game, yet they're only 7-point dogs. That's definitely something fishy. I think the Jets, and I like Saleh. I think Saleh's been a good coach. So if you have any faith in him at all, coming off a bye, the second, you know, a rematch against a team is definitely the spot you want him in. So I'm going all in with Saleh and taking the Jets.
I think for a long time, second time division teams meet, it's gone under. I know it's hard to take an under, and the Patriots have been playing some overs, right? But Zach Wilson couldn't possibly play worse than he did in the first time these two teams met, right? The Jets come off fresh, maybe conservative. The Patriots obviously dealing with that hangover. I just think both teams kind of play it safe and simple, and I think first to 20 wins. So this is easily one of my five faves of the week.
Not making this one of my five favorites, you guys. It is something I might consider betting, especially if it stays at plus 110. Jamison Crowder over 4.5 receptions. This is something I've talked about a bit on this show, but you know, books are getting crushed on these props, and that's why you're seeing most of them come out at minus 115 on both sides. And that's just, that's a lot of juice to pay for something that, you know, theoretically is a coin flip. That's why we're talking about it as an over-under. It should be about a 50-50 proposition. We are comfortable paying the minus 110 because that's how gambling works. But minus 115 is, like, I don't know, a little bit insulting, I would say. So I'm basically rejecting minus 115 props out of hand. That said, sitting at plus 110 makes this completely different. So that's why I could get in on Jamison Crowder. We saw the Patriots take away Corey Davis in the first game, 2 catches for 8 yards. We know that that's what they're going to want to do again here, right? It's hard to imagine the Jets moving the ball in big chunks if it's not being done by Corey Davis down the field. And that's really how the Jets win this game, right? So you take away Corey Davis, you live with death by a thousand cuts, Jamison Crowder, and you probably end up winning the game if you're the Patriots. So I think we could see a nice game for Jamison Crowder going over that 4.5 receptions. But really, it's all about that plus 110 number that we're getting from BetMGM.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Next game up, you guys, the other New York team, the New York Football Giants. They are 3-point dogs at home against the Carolina Panthers. 43.5 is the over-under. You guys, again, not only are you both picking a favorite from this game, but you are on the exact same side. Zach, start us off here with the Giants +3.
I just don't like the way Sam Darnold takes care of the ball, as in he doesn't. And I think the Giants are desperate. Everybody's down on them for obvious reasons. They just got gashed. Well, they stay home. They see a game that they realistically have a chance in. They didn't last week against the Rams. And I think that defense, which I kind of liked to start the year, stands up. And maybe not outright, but I think this is one that the Panthers earn, and I think the Giants stay within a field goal.
Yeah, I also like the home dog. I think, like you mentioned, Sam Darnold has shown you why the Jets moved on. I think they actually had some flashes early on the season, but definitely not the guy you want, I think, as your quarterback for your franchise. I think that also the Panthers' defense got a lot of hype, but it also been underwhelming the last few weeks. So I like the Giants. I think Devontae Booker has a big week for the Giants, and they win the game outright.
I'm with you guys on this. I like the Giants as well. Since it's not going to be one of my five favorites, though, I thought I would throw something else out. So I just, what was that like? I don't know, 90 seconds ago, 2 minutes ago, make this big moral stand about not paying 115 on a prop. And then here I am with Chuba Hubbard over 74.5 rushing yards at minus 115. But the volume's there for him. The volume has been there for him since he's been taken over as the starter with Christian McCaffrey out. 13 carries, 24 carries, 16 carries over these last 3 weeks. And that 13-carry game was against Dallas, a game that, you know, if you just look at the score, like, oh, 36-28, that was a close game. But that was a game that Dallas had a 3-score lead at one point, so they really had to completely abandon the run. The last couple of games, games that have been a little bit closer, we've seen Chuba Hubbard remain involved as a runner. And so I think that's going to be the case in this one, even if the Giants do ultimately pull off the mini upset and win this game. I think it's going to be a close one, and Hubbard is going to have a big role to play for the Panthers. So as long as the volume's there, 16, 17, 18 carries, give him that. I think he can get over the 74.5 rushing yards. Not actually betting it, but just wanted to change things up since we are all liking the Giants as home dogs in this one. One of the more fun games of the week, if you ask me, is our next one up. It is the Ravens and the Bengals. Big AFC North clash. Ravens, 6.5-point favorites at home. 46, the over-under in this game. Vic, I almost went with you on this as making it one of my five favorites, but I guess you've got a little bit more guts than I do in trusting the Bengals.
Yeah, before he got hurt, I would often pick the Bengals only because of Joe Burrow. And that's where I am this week. I think he's really good against the blitz, which the Ravens do a lot. I think it's a good spot for the Bengals. They've been playing pretty well. Defense also playing well. So the Ravens obviously are very impressive this year. Lamar Jackson's been great, but they're not winning a lot of games by a lot of points. And definitely all these games have been close. So I think this is a close one. I think Joe Burrow hangs in there and they cover the spread pretty easily.
Yeah, man, this is a tough one, and it's a big one because the Bengals could announce themselves as real playoff contenders, right? I'm going to go with the under. I think part of the reason the Bengals are playing better is their defense is much better. I think the Ravens are coming off their best defensive effort of the year by far, holding the Justin Herbert and the Chargers to 6 points. And so I think division game, I tend to agree with you, Vic, that the Bengals keep it close, but I'm going to stick with the under here because I think it's a first to 20, 23 wins type of game.
And for all the reasons you guys said, that's why I'm on the Bengals here too. And I just like them to be able to pop a big play or two with the way Joe Burrow is playing. Very efficient football right now. So that's why I think this game stays close. Not necessarily picking a Bengals outright win. I do think that they are a live dog here and pulling off that upset. But I think it stays close. This just has the feeling of a field goal game where neither team is really able to put any sort of distance between it and their opponent. So that's why I like the Bengals plus 6.5 here. Next game on our docket, you guys, Raiders and Eagles. We've got the Raiders as 3-point favorites at home in this one. 48.5 is the over-under. And Vic, right before we started recording this, I saw you taking some incoming flack from someone on Twitter being like, Vic, what the hell? Calling an upset? You're not quite calling an upset, but you do like the Eagles against the spread. Not your pick here for us, though. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, my pick's Colin. I picked the Eagles plus 3. I just think it's a fishy line. I think it's a trap line. The Raiders are obviously coming off this big statement win. They're home. They should be rolling. I just think it's a number that's kind of weird looking at because the Eagles are 2-4. You think they'd be more than 3-point dogs on the road. I think I'll say this. I think this game, both D-lines can be big factors. I think the Raiders D-lines is one of the best in the league all year. That should continue. I think the Raiders O-lines has some trouble. I think this week they'll have trouble against the Eagles D-line also. So I think for those reasons, I'm taking the under here, under 48.5, rather than taking the Eagles plus 3.
I agree. I was expecting, more, the Eagles plus more, but I'm going to take the 3. I don't know about the Raiders. They circled the wagons, right? In this tough circumstances last week, maybe the Eagles catch them sleeping. Maybe they play a closer game. I know the Eagles are running out of chances, right? Realistically, we don't think anybody has a shot of keeping up with the Cowboys in the NFC East. That's probably the case. If the Eagles are going to do it, though, they need to steal this one. Maybe they do. I'll take the Eagles plus 3.
We are once again on the same page, you guys. I also like the Eagles plus 3 in this one, and it's because of the fact that I expect it to be a larger line that I like them as much as I do. I am finding one of my 5 favorites in this. It is not that, however. It is Henry Ruggs' longest reception. Now, as of now, not posted, but typically the Henry Ruggs' longest reception prop has been living somewhere in the mid to low 20s, and I think that that's where we have every reason to expect it to be at that level again this week. Henry Ruggs seems to pop a play like that every single week, and we've seen it over the last couple of games where they're just taking all those shots with him. I mean, he gets at least one, maybe two opportunities every game to make that sort of play. And so I think as long as that opportunity is there for him once again this week, he's going to get on the right end of one of these from Derek Carr. So give me Henry Ruggs' longest reception to go over what it is. I'll throw it out there when we do get it, but I would expect it to be somewhere in the 23, 24.5 range. That's typically where you see him living, and I think that's a good bet for him. One of my 5 favorites, Henry Ruggs, to make a big play for the Raiders against the Eagles in this one. Next up, you guys, we've got the Rams and the Lions, one of 3 consecutive big spreads that we are about to talk about. This one, 15.5 with the Rams hosting the Lions. 50.5 is the over-under in this one. What do you got for us, Zach?
Boy, do the Lions stink, right? all of these are generally walkaways for me when they get over 10, unless I have a strong feeling, and I don't here. I think the Rams could name their score. Will they? Will the back door be closed at the end? I don't know. I'm going to say that the Rams are content to get on to the next week and on to the rest of their season. So they're going to get their 31-35, and, probably they do cover, but my bet here would be, again, it's nothing I love under the total.
Well, earlier, Zach said he had one of his 5 top plays of the year. I have one of my top 5 plays of the decade This is beyond a lock. This is like, go ahead and bet the house. But Jared Goff over 0.5 interceptions at -135. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, especially this week because it's a revenge game. He's got to prove something. He's on a terrible team. The Rams are going to be fired up to play him. And also, you have his own coach Campbell saying he's got to take more shots. He's not being aggressive enough. We have shots downfield. He's not pulling the trigger. So the coach is begging for an interception. So I love it. I mean, this is I can't love this one more than I do.
I love my bet in this one too. And Zach, I am typically with you. Once a spread gets up this high, 12.5, 13.5, it's usually a pretty easy walk away because you just never really know. And that's a big number, no matter the gap between the teams. I love this Rams -15.5 number, and it's because the reason why I find something that gets me intrigued is because we know that the Rams are obviously significantly better than the Lions. That's not exactly saying much. Why I like them to cover this is because their particular offensive strengths align perfectly with the Lions' particular defensive weaknesses. And what do I mean by that? Well, the Lions are terrible against the pass, truly terrible against the pass. They've allowed the second most yards per play, the most yards per pass attempt, 29th in the league in pressures, 28th in total EPA, and last in pass defense EPA. On the flip side, the Rams are second in yards per play, first in yards per pass attempt, second in offensive EPA, first in pass offense EPA. I mean, this is just a perfect matchup for the Rams to do every single thing that they want to do on offense. And that is why I feel comfortable laying the 15.5 with the Rams. This is just too good a matchup for them for me to want to get away from this. I will make the Rams -15.5 one of my five favorites for week 7. Next big spread that we talk about, you guys, biggest spread of the season to date. BetMGM's got it at 17 as the Cardinals' favorite over the Texans. You're going to see this as high as 18.5 in some spots. But we're going to go with the Cardinals -17. 47.5 are over under on this one. Vic, what's your play for what we're expecting to be something of a blowout?
Yeah, I think 17. I can't lay 17. I can't take 17. So I do think the Cardinals will be a little sleepy. They can't be excited about playing the Texans. They're, obviously doing so well this year, but they might look ahead a little bit. And so I'm going with them. They're going to win the game, but they're going to score less than 31.5 points. So they'll be a little sleepy. The offense won't be totally firing on all pistons. But so the combination of the win and scoring less than 31.5 pays off plus 575.
Yeah.
So to some, this is a boring, don't play game. To me, this is a lottery ticket. So plus 575 for that combination.
I like the work you've done this week, my friend. I mean, plus 575, and it's realistic, right? It was an easy pick for one of my five faves. It's the revenge game here, right? The Cardinals are so good. I saw them in person last week. Kyler is so locked in, and they do so much with ease. Like, how isn't DeAndre Hopkins going to get a touchdown against his old team, right? They're going to run plays in the red zone for DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins can catch passes with three guys on him, and knowing the state of the Texans, I'm not sure anybody's going to be on him. The Browns tried that last week a couple times. It didn't work out. But one of my absolute five plays, DeAndre Hopkins to get a touchdown. So, his yards total over, maybe over 1.5 touchdowns. You start getting into the Vic juice range there. But one of my five favorite plays is DeAndre Hopkins to score a touchdown on Sunday.
DeAndre's been just about as automatic as Kyler has been this season. There's always a second receiver. Maybe it's A.J. Green. Maybe it's Rondale Moore. Maybe it's Christian Kirk mixing in. But DeAndre has been pretty automatic this season, liking that play as well. Davis Mills, on the other hand, has just been really ugly this year. And there is some big risk of losing his pass yards under prop in garbage time, right? What are the Cardinals going to do if they're up by 24 points? What do they care if Mills dinks and dunks his way to like 213 yards and gets over the number? Still, it's one I feel comfortable making my pick on the record here. Not going to play it, but I think this is a game that the Cardinals dominate. Also not comfortable laying 17. That's a huge number, but I really don't see any path for the Cardinals to not dominate this game without a handful of anomalous occurrences for the Texans. I'll say Davis Mills stays under that pass yards prop. The final big spread of the day, the final monster spread of the day, comes with the Buccaneers and the Bears. The Bucs are 12.5 point favorites at home, 47 the over-under on this one. You guys are both, once again, taking the big road dog. Zach, let's hear your case first for the Bears plus 12.5.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks ago I took Miami to cover this similar number against the same Tampa team. Did I learn my lesson? I did not. But Tampa stinks. You know, I just don't like laying that much in the NFL. I think it's the line is telling you the back door is going to be open. I think the Bears are still in the developmental stage with Justin Fields. They're going to play hard till the end. I think their defense is good enough to give Tom Brady some fits, maybe force a turnover. So I don't expect the Bears to be outright. I don't expect this to be a nail biter, but I do expect the back door to be open, and I'll take the points.
Yeah, I agree. I think of all these teams getting big numbers this week, they're definitely the most competitive. The Bears have a little bit of – you got some playmakers in defense. I think Fields is definitely, though not there, not anywhere close to being there yet, but he's definitely dangerous as far as the backdoor cover goes. So I think it'll be relatively close. I think most of them, more importantly, have the Bears showing some pride. Certainly have some pride in staying close and not getting blown out.
And not only do the Bears have playmakers on defense, they're making plays this year. They lead the NFL in sacks. They're getting after the quarterback. Defense is doing its job once again for the Chicago Bears franchise, just something we've heard for the, I don't know, the last 30 years or so. Defense is doing its job. The offense could be a little bit better. Maybe they'd have something there. I do think that the 12.5 is a little bit big of a number considering this. And, hey, I mean, it was just last year that similar personnel on both sides, the Bears won when these teams got together in 2020, a game that they won by 1 point, created that famous Tom Brady, you know, fourth down meme. So, you know, maybe they can replicate that at least in keeping it close. I don't think they have any real chance of winning this game. I'll take Justin Fields rushing yards over this one. Also not yet posted by BetMGM, but it's one where I think we start to see him do it a little bit more and more. And you saw it last week. He had one big run last week. It was not a designed run. It was a scramble, but you saw what he could do when the pocket breaks down around him on that one long run. Ended up having six carries for 43 yards in that game, and they haven't really let him free things up. He hasn't quite done that, but that's where this offense takes its next step. That's the obvious next evolution for the Bears offense. The first was just start Justin Fields. The second is let's get him moving. Let's get him using his legs. Let's get him using his speed and find ways to make plays like that. I think he can go over whatever the rush yards prop ends up being. Not one of my five favorites, but one where I will put my name down for the record on this show. Our last five favorite, our fifth favorite for all three of us, comes in this same game, Sunday Night Football, Colts and 49ers. 49ers, 4-point favorites at home, 44 is the over under. Vic, you and I have the same pick, so I'm gonna let Zach take this one first. Zach, what do you got?
Yeah, the forecast says it's going to be nasty rain, winds 40-50 miles an hour. I kind of leaned under anyway, right? The Niners need to run the ball a lot better than they have. They're finally healthy. I've seen it a million times here in Cleveland. You tell a guy he's not good enough, you have to go back to that guy. They don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Right? I think the Colts are running it well with Jonathan Taylor. Even if the forecast is not close to what it is here, you know, 72 hours out, 60 hours out, whatever it may be, it's going to be ugly. I think both teams will coach accordingly. And I'm saying get this under before it drops, because it's going to drop if the forecast is anywhere close to what it was on Thursday night.
I'm rolling with the Colts. For years, I didn't know what the Colts were going to do. I was always wrong. But now they've covered three in a row. I'm ordering my Carson Wentz jersey. I'm pretty excited. Carson Wentz did a pretty good job. They definitely run the ball well, but he's taking shots down the field and not making mistakes. So I think they have some confidence going up, both offensively and defensively. So I think it's a good spot for him. I like the Colts to win this game.
You know, I like the Colts with the points, too. And it feels like, you know, Vic, you mentioned that they've covered three spreads in a row, and it feels like the offense turned a corner in that one 3 games ago. That was the 27-17 win against the Dolphins. It wasn't this huge offensive performance, but it was very clearly the best offensive performance to date. And it did show the signs of them starting to figure things out. That was Michael Pittman's first big game of the season. That was Carson Wentz's best game so far this year. It was the first 100-yard rushing game for Jonathan Taylor. And obviously, you know, we know that there's a chicken or egg with rushing, and you know, we know that obviously you're in the lead, you're going to run more, you're going to get more rushing yards. But we just saw a more complete offensive game from them, both through the air and on the ground. Then the next week, they let that lead slip away against the Ravens. But again, they played really, really well despite letting that lead get away. A bad performance from the defense really over the last 20 or so minutes of game action, but the Colts looked like the better team for 30-35 minutes of that one. And then last week, just putting a hurt on the Texans, and a lot of teams are going to do that, but they still have to go out and do it. And you saw great game out of Jonathan Taylor, a really efficient game out of Carson Wentz, 11.15 yards per attempt in that one. By the way, 11.5 half yards per attempt in the game against the Ravens. And T.Y. Hilton back in the fold, making some big plays down the field, 4 catches for 90 yards. He's dealing with another injury, but it sounds like as of right now, as of this recording, that he's going to be able to play. So it just we were seeing a little bit more complete of an offense from Indy than we've seen at any other point this season. Vicky or Zach, you mentioned it. They got to go back to Jimmy Garoppolo this week. No George Kittle. They still can't get Brandon Ayuk going. Like, I'm not exactly sure what to expect out of the San Francisco offense. So I think the Colts can definitely keep this one close. I think that this is not a bad spot to go with an outright upset as well. That is not my pick. Colts plus 4 is my pick. Monday Night Football, you guys, kind of a letdown. No 5 favorite from either of us. We've got the Saints, we've got the Seahawks, and we've got the Saints favored by 4.5 in Seattle, 43.5 the over-under. I'll take this one first, let you guys wrap up the show. I'll take the under of 43.5. I just don't really think either of these offenses can move the ball. I think the Saints, if they are able to control it, don't really want this to be a game that moves up and down too fast. I just don't see a whole lot of scoring in this one. Give me the under 43.5. Zach, what do you got for his?
Michael, you didn't even need to look at my email for this one. You know when Jameis is on the road, I'm going against him. I don't care if it's Geno Smith on the other side. Give me the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, Seahawks, you know, plus 4.5 at home. They're definitely begging you to take the Seahawks. They want you to take the Seahawks. So you got it, but I can't do it. I just can't take Geno Smith. I'm on the other side of the coin, I guess. I just think I'll go with Jameis over Geno. I just think it's the Saints are a better team overall at this point. Seahawks have other issues they got to worry about. So I don't like it, but I'm taking the Saints minus 4.5.
Yeah, I don't like it as well. I think the degeneracy and the power of sports gambling and fantasy football will be tested with these two teams getting together on Monday Night Football.
I like that.
That's why we're here.
That is exactly why you're here. Why else are you watching this game unless like need 17.5 points out of Alvin Kamara? Or I had to take the Seahawks plus 4.5. I just had to. That's really who's going to be tuning in for this game on Monday night. That's going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. For Zach, for Vic, I am Michael Beller. Have yourselves a great weekend. And as always, happy betting.